Hey friends, I wanted to take a minute to share with you about one of our new partners, Five Lakes Coffee. For 20 years, Five Lakes has been helping people discover the magic of fresh roasted coffee. They craft roast in small batches, then ship direct so that you are getting the freshest and best tasting coffee. Five Lakes uses the highest quality specialty grade coffee beans from around the world. And let me tell you, we're kind of coffee snobs in my family, and their coffee has converted even my daughter, who is a barista. As a family-owned and family-friendly company, I love their mission. As believers, our family loves supporting other Christian companies, and one of the things I absolutely love about this company is that they believe in loving their neighbors, and they value being good stewards of what God has given them. My two favorites are the signature Five Lakes blend and Chris's blend, because for Chris's blend, they donate $1 per bag to Forgotten Children's Ministry in Honduras. And guess what? As a podcast listener, you get an exclusive 20% off your first order when you use the code Hearing Jesus. Head over to fivelakes.com and experience the joy of fresh roasted goodness today. Again, head to fivelakes.com and use code Hearing Jesus for 20% off your first order.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
One of the aspects of growing in our faith is realizing that it's okay to ask questions. And for many of you, I'm the person that you ask. And I love that. As a pastor and a missionary and an author, one of the things I love is helping you grow in your faith. And so today we're doing our monthly Q&A session where I'm responding to questions that listeners have written in with. If you yourself have questions, you can email them to rachel@shehears.org. I pray that this is going to be a valuable episode for you. Stay tuned. Do you sometimes doubt if you're truly hearing God's voice or if it's really your own? Or have you been in a season where it feels like He's completely silent? Have you been praying for a way to learn how to hear His voice more clearly? Hey friends, I'm Rachel, host of the Hearing Jesus podcast. If you are ready to grow in your faith and to confidently step into your identity in Christ, then join me as we dig deep into God's Word so you can learn to live out your faith in your everyday life. Hey friends, welcome back to the Hearing Jesus podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Grohl, and today we are doing our Q&A session. And I'm just going to tell you right off the bat that our first question is a doozy, and it is really just for the women. I guess men, you could probably listen if you still wanted to, but just be prepared for some cringy moments. And so the first question I have today, we're just going to jump right in, is can you have sex while you're on your period without it being a sin? Well, first off, I just want to applaud the bravery of this girl to ask this question, because I think it takes a lot of guts to say those things out loud. I think it's probably something that a lot of women have thought or wondered, especially this point. Think about this, where you're at in the months now, it's March. If you started a Bible reading plan at the beginning of the year, you're probably into the portion where you're getting into the law. And if you were just reading, you probably have questions about what the law means for us today. Well, I want to talk about specifically this issue, but also the larger context of how we should read the law, the books of the law in the Old Testament. First off, yes, you can have sex while you're on your period. It is really a matter of personal preference. When we are reading the Old Testament laws, we have to remember the context of which we're reading. Now remember, scripture was written for us, but it was not originally written to us. It was written to an ancient people group, and especially the Old Testament, this is before Jesus came. Now the Hebrew people had lots of laws to keep them in line with what God's word was, but also it was part of the system of sacrifices. So if you messed up, okay, so if you were a Jewish person living, a Hebrew person living at that time frame, and you messed up, you would then have to go to the temple and sacrifice an animal. When Jesus came on the scene, Jesus was the Lamb of God. He was the final blood sacrifice. And so once Jesus came, we don't have to worry about going to the temple and sacrificing our animals. Thank God, because I would have to have a whole farm here for as much as I mess up. And so this part of scripture is giving the law. We are no longer bound by the law, but it does help us understand that God cares about the details, but also recognizing that there are so many aspects of the law that we don't live by, that if you started to try to do that, it's so restrictive and it's so binding. It's part of the reason why we needed Jesus in the first place, because we were not able to follow all of those letters of the law to a T. But you have to also remember the spirit of the law. And that's what I want to point out. The spirit of the law, why would God say things like that? Well, in that time frame, it was a hygiene issue. So much so that if you were a woman that was on your period, you would have to go outside the city bounds and you would have to go, they call them the red tents. You would have to go sit in the red tent when you were on your period. And then you could come back after you went through a process of purification, because just by having your period, you would be what they saw as unclean. And so the reason why they said you couldn't have sex while you were on your period is because then it would defile the man and he would become unclean. And so it was this whole process of cleanliness versus uncleanliness. Now, at this point, it's personal. It's up to you. It's not a sin, though. And to carry that with you, you have to recognize that if you consider that a sin, you would have to consider everything that we do that's not part of a law a sin. And you know, there are people that still live that way, but they won't even turn a light switch on the Sabbath. I mean, it's a whole different lifestyle that we don't have to live under the law because we have experienced Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean we throw the entire law out. There is a lot of value and it helps us understand God's character and God's nature. But again, look at the heart of the law. And this really ties into the second question was, can I eat bacon or pork without it being a sin? Yes, you can. Again, what was the spirit of the law? I've talked about this before, but think about where Israel was. They were really close to Philistia, the Philistine people. They were the sea-bearing people. They not only ate pork products, but they worshiped pigs. And so when God gave that mandate not to eat pork or bacon or whatever, however you want to term it, whatever kind of pork you're talking about, it was because there needed to be a separation between the Jewish people and the people that were not Jewish. And they lived really close to each other. Often they would co-mingle. And so you couldn't always tell just by looking at somebody if they were Philistine or Canaanite or if they were Jewish, if they were Hebrew people. And so this distinguishing pattern of not eating bacon, not eating pork, was one of the ways that they were set apart. And also, it was really about the posture of your heart, because the Philistines would eat pork as part of their diet because they worshiped the pig. And of course, we're not worshiping pigs as, you know, a Hebrew people at that time. They were worshiping Yahweh, the one true God. And so it was really more about where their hearts were aligned. Are we setting our hearts apart to worship Yahweh? And so it's not so much about eating the bacon. It's more about where they're placing their trust and being set apart for God. And so again, I would challenge you to go back to listen or to look and to read about the heart of the law, the spirit of the law. Why would God be saying those things? It's not that God is just super restrictive and wants you to have no fun, doesn't want you to taste bacon. I mean, I pray that there's bacon in heaven. We eat lots of bacon in our house. But my heart is aligned with Jesus. My heart is aligned with God. I am not worshiping the pigs. And I think that's the reason why we see some of those Old Testament laws. But also to remember that we're not bound by the law anymore. We're bound to Christ. Okay, the next question is on AI. I had somebody, actually this has come up a couple times now, where people are really operating in fear because of AI. And you know, AI has really been around for a long time. I think part of the issue right now is we're just starting to hear about it through TikTok, through social media, it's on the news. We're starting to hear more and more about AI, but actually most companies have used some version of AI for a really long time. And so AI has been around, your life has been impacted by AI, whether you realize it or not. I mean, it's been used in things like surgery for a long time, or, you know, Google uses it to know how to send you the right ads or whatever. I think AI is similar to any other thing. There are opportunities for it to be used for good, and there are opportunities for it to be used for bad. I mean, even things like ChatGPT and some of the chat bots, one of the things that they are coming up against right now is these AI platforms have become racist or discriminatory in some way because of the input that's been put into them. And I think that tells us a lot about the human condition and human nature. We have to recognize that it's like anything else. It's a tool. Social media is a tool. I don't really particularly care for social media, but it's a way that I can connect with you. So it's a tool that I use to bring God glory. Now, is there a danger of social media? Absolutely. Same thing with AI. There's a danger there that it could be used for evil. I do not think necessarily that it is a mark of the beast or anything crazy like that, as some people do, but I think we do have to be careful. In general, I would say that we want to make sure that we are holding everything up to the light of Scripture. And so if you are somebody that, you know, like I have teenage daughters, one of the things that we've had a conversation around in our home is how do we appropriately use AI with things like school? Because if I just ban AI and I don't teach them how to use it, I'm not dumb. I mean, my kids can literally talk to the AI that's in our living room and ask for answers, and it will spit out answers. So instead, what we talked about is integrity. Things like what character means. Character means living the right way, living for God, even when no one else is watching. And that is true in any area of our lives. I don't think AI is any different. I mean, if you have a cell phone, you have AI that you're carrying around in your pocket with you. It's just a tool, and we have to make sure that we guard our hearts and our minds in the way that we use that tool, because that tool, just like a shovel, it could be used for good or it could be used for evil. I think it's just a thought of how it's going to impact us as a culture. I will also say too, you know, there are some people that have a lot of fear because it's unknown. We always fear the unknown.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in Raw through your favorite podcast app.
Because it's unknown. We always fear the unknown. But we have to trust that the Holy Spirit is not surprised by the advancements in AI. And so it's not like this all of a sudden is a surprise to God. If anything, we can lean into this as a prayer point. If you are feeling insecure or some concern or some fear, go to the Lord with that and see what He says about how you should integrate that in your own life. The next question, does God communicate in dreams? The easy answer is yes, but that doesn't mean that every dream is from God. I think there's different kinds of dreams. First off, I would say, just like I say about everything, God's voice will not contradict God's word. And so if you have a dream and you believe that God is speaking to you through this dream, the first thing you should do is hold it up to God's word. What does God's word say about this situation? Because God's not going to communicate with you in a dream something that is in contrast or in conflict with what He already says in His word. So that's your first tell. The second thing is there's a lot of reasons why we can have dreams. Sometimes God does speak to us in a dream. Sometimes the enemy tries to speak to us in a dream. Sometimes our own emotions speak to us in a dream. But remember that when God is speaking to us in a dream, it doesn't necessarily leave us with feelings of panic or dread. I remember one time, actually this has happened several times, but shortly after we moved into this house, I had a series of dreams that were really scary. And God has given me dreams before, but these dreams were not those kinds of dreams. These dreams were causing me to panic. And I honestly just did not even think about it. We had moved into this house. We were unpacking, cleaning, all the things. And I had had for several nights in a row some really bad dreams. And I had a dream the one night of us being in a car and we were going down a hill. And I don't remember the exact details, but everybody except for me and my family in this dream died. And I woke up just in a panic and a sweat. My daughter came upstairs. She was like maybe 11 at the time. She said, "Mom," and she describes this dream. She was panic stricken. She describes this dream that she had. It was the exact same dream that I had. Now, I could have thought, oh my gosh, this is a dream from God and we're all going to be involved in some sort of car crash. Instead, I took authority over that in Jesus' name and we anointed our house. And if that is not something you've ever done, and this is an area where you are wondering if some of these bad dreams are spiritual, I would anoint the house. And if you need pointers on that, if you go to shehears.org and go to the blog section, there is a blog that is called Anointing Your Home, and it has a sample prayer. It walks you through how to take the oil and anoint your windows and your doors to cast anything that is not of God out and to protect anything from coming in. And before you think I'm just woo-woo, let me just tell you that scripture makes it very clear that we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but the principalities of the air. This is a very real thing. And for us, the moment that we anointed that house, we did not have another bad dream. Also, I want to just make it clear that not every bad dream is from the devil. Sometimes that's the tacos you had before dinner. But in this scenario, because of how similar these two dreams were, I knew that it was more than just the tacos for dinner. And so we kicked out whatever was in here and we protected. Now, I just want to side note, talk about that for a minute, because there are a lot of Christians I know that have moved into a place that have not anointed their home. We even had my daughter anoint her dorm room because there's something sacred and special about your home. And we want to make sure that it's a safe place spiritually, physically, emotionally. You know, when we move into a home, we walk through and we make sure there's no loose wires or no loose nails or that it's safe. We do that physically, but sometimes we forget to do that spiritually. And so we want to kick out anything that was in here. We don't know who lived here before, what they were into or what they did or what they invited in. And let me just share real quickly a story about a long time ago when we were first starting our adoption process from Kenya. This was years ago. We had met our little guy and we had been, you know, involved in a couple of things in country with court cases and things like that. And I was back in the States and I decided to just spend some time in prayer. And so I was brand new. I had received a prayer language, baptism of the Holy Spirit in Kenya. And so that was kind of new. I was still learning about that and how to operate in that gifting. And so I was praying in tongues on our couch. I was alone. It was just me and God. And as I was praying, you know, it took a while. I decided to just take a break and get a drink of water and do a couple things about around the house. I was going to eat some lunch and then go back at it for a while until the kids got home from school. And so in that process, I was like making a sandwich or something. I decided to take the garbage out. And we had anointed our home. When we moved into that house, we did anoint our home. It's funny because I anointed that home, but I didn't anoint this home. I just got distracted. But anyway, the moment I stepped out on the porch, so I was in my home, I had the garbage in my hand, I stepped out onto the cement patio, I heard an audible growl in my ear. So much so that I turned around expecting like a wolf to be there. We live on the edge of woods. We're in a very rural area. And in both our previous house and this house here, we'd live near woods. And we do have coyote and we have bear and we have different things that come through the woods. I thought that there was going to be a wolf or something standing there or a coyote or something. And it was within the inches between me and my door. It was literally a couple inches and it was at ear level. And when I turned around, there was nothing there. I realized that was in the spirit. So I hopped back inside of my house and I cast that devil out. But I then went and I took the anointing oil, which there's nothing special about the oil. The oil is a point of contact, but it was just olive oil for my kitchen. I went and I walked our property and I anointed the property as well. I went to the fence posts. I walked the entire property because That demon knew that he did not have authority to enter my home. But the moment I stepped out of my home, he had authority there. And I was like, you ain't going to get on my porch. You're not going to get on my property. And so we anointed and walked the entire property. And so I'm saying all of that to help you understand that sometimes the things that we are experiencing are spiritual. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's God or it's the devil, but sometimes it is. And so if we think that it's never God or it's never the devil, well, then there's this whole spiritual aspect that we are ignoring. There's been other times where God has communicated to me in dreams to warn me about things or to give me peace about something. And so that has happened to me personally. It doesn't happen to everyone, and that's okay. But sometimes it does. I interviewed Lee Strobel not too long ago, and he was talking about a dream that he had had, an experience he had had. There are lots of people that have experienced that. So just because you haven't experienced it doesn't mean that you won't or that other people haven't, because we're unique, right? Our brains, our hearts, our minds are unique. God wired us all differently, and the way he communicates to us is sometimes different. But yes, definitely, I believe that God can and does communicate in dreams. Okay, let me pray for you real quick. God, thank you so much for my friends and just their heart to understand you more. Lord, I can tell by some of these questions and so many that we didn't even get to today that people are really seeking you, Lord. So Lord, I pray for those that are in a season of seeking you as they're reading their Bibles, as they're having questions, as they're trying to understand your voice in their life. Would you remind them that your word is the primary way that you speak to us? So Lord, would you give them a craving for your word? Would you give them an understanding for your word? Would you help them to seek you until they find you? Lord, I thank you for the way that you continue to draw us to you by your spirit through your love. Lord, I pray for my friends today that they would be overwhelmed with how much you love them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Hearing Jesus podcast is so excited to partner with Compassion International. We believe in Compassion's mission to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. I've seen the impact myself through the letters and the updates that I've received as a sponsor. It's not just changing the lives of children, it's changing entire families, whole communities, always through the local church and always in Jesus' name. When you sponsor a child, you ensure access to quality education, medical checkups, healthy food, clean water, and most importantly, the love of Jesus, delivered through a church in their community because of a generous, caring sponsor like you. And you can speak life, love, and hope to your sponsored child through personal letters that you'll exchange. I hope you'll join me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. All you have to do is pull out your phone, open up a text, and text Hearing Jesus to 83393. You'll get back a text with a picture of a child who is waiting for a sponsor and a link to sponsor that child. You can also go to compassion.com/hearingjesus to choose a boy or a girl to sponsor. When you sponsor a child, we will send you a copy of She Hears, Learning to Listen to Jesus, my Bible study, as a token of our thanks for investing in the life of a child. Thank you for joining me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. Hey friends, if this podcast helped encourage, empower, or equip you in your walk with God, I would love it if you would head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. That's the number one way you can support my show. You can also join our free Facebook community or Instagram page where I share inspirational tips, bonus content, resources, and prayer throughout the week. Hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Know that you are so loved. Keep going.